We're going to go into a little bit of a Christmas message. Since last week we had a small devotion, and next week we're not having Family Bible Hour. I get to speak for 3 hours this week, okay? So after all the carbs you just ate, should be good, right? I shouldn't brighten the lights, but I kind of like it like this. So anyway, don't fall asleep on me, all right? I want to share a thought with you. And it's the thought of Christmas, the thought of why we come to celebrate not just Christmas time and Christmas season, but throughout the year, right? It's like our Lord's, our first meeting when we come and meet and remember our Lord and Savior. It's that, right? It's that joy. It's that rejoicing that we remember and we remember throughout the year. So I want to just share a thought with you. Understanding the meaning of Christmas in a new light. If it's not a new light, maybe it's an old light, but just understanding the meaning of Christmas in a different way, or how I am thinking about it currently, and I pray that you all share in the same thought. But go ahead and turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40, and I want to bring this thought to you about bringing the awe of Christmas back to the church. What do I mean by that? Bringing the awe, a word that is generally should be ascribed to God. To be awe, to be awe-inspired, it's to be inspired by God, or to have that understanding of God in a way that just blows your mind, and that can only be attributed to God and what God is doing. Bringing the awe back to Christmas, Christmas, more of Christ. And why back to the church? I'll give you a little story. As I grew up, and I was my parents came over from India, and they Christmas outside of the States is just celebrated differently, and every culture celebrates it differently if of the Christian or Christian tradition. But as my parents came out of a culture of Hinduism and a culture of many idols and gods. Especially in the assemblies in India, they put off everything. They put off anything of material wealth, anything of material standards, you know, no jewelry, no nothing. And then when they come here and they see the celebration, as you can see, of shopping, gifts, material things, I was raised, we don't celebrate in that way. We celebrated in the assembly. Our main thing was getting ready for Sunday school anniversary. And we all looked forward to Christmas time at church, everyone together and having an anniversary. So that was my understanding of Christmas. But I feel sometimes I was I don't want to say cheated. Cheated might be a little harsher of a term. But I feel like my understanding of Christmas was muted, you could say, or the expression of that was muted, because I truly believe, as we come for our first meeting and we remember the Lord's table and the body and the bread, I think it's an expression, a passionate expression of worship, and I believe Christmas is just like Easter, it should be a passionate expression of worship. So this is why I'm talking about bringing the awe of Christmas back to the church. What did it mean back in the first century? What did God mean? What was this huge event of Jesus Christ being born? What did it all mean? So I want to bring our attention to some of these thoughts. So Isaiah chapter 40 is where I want to begin, because I think in the Old Testament, in many prophetic thoughts, prophetic visions of the future, God is revealing himself. He is exploding. He's revealing himself. He's not some distant God that's out there and like a clockmaker that just sets things in motion and that's it. He's not some distant being. And then what do people like to do? They like to blame God, right? The first thing is blame God, or where is this God? But if you're truly a Berean, he's truly someone that studies the Word of God from creation to the end and what we see in the future. God has been revealing himself the whole time. It's beautiful. It's amazing to see God's revelation of who he is and the glory that he's revealing of who he is. It speaks immensely of his character and his love and what he wants to do for those he have created. And I want to touch on that. And I want to begin here in Isaiah 40 because I think it's a beautiful place of looking at a change of thought through the Old Testament. And we know Isaiah and some of the writings previously, chapter 1 through 39, or 1 through 35, you had this guy, the idea of judgment, of wrath, of judgment, and then, you know, Israel in captivity. And then you have this prophetic description of current events and what God will do, not to wipe out, but to bring a judgment for sin. But in Isaiah 40, you begin to see a picture here, right, of the future and what God is doing. And we've seen it before, right? Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah, other places of speaking of the Lord. But here, I want us to start. Isaiah 40. Comfort. Yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, pray, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice said, cry out, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pause for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we pause in this time, Lord, we want to look deeply into your word and this thought of how you have been revealing yourself in so many ways, Lord, and most of all, through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, and even now, Lord, you use us to reveal your glory in so many ways, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we would just be challenged and we would be moved to understand these words. Help us, Lord, to understand how powerful the meaning of this season is, Lord, in what you have done and are doing. In your precious Son's name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The main verse here is the glory, verse 5, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. You see here Isaiah speaking in a time of great trouble, turmoil, God doing amazing things. And he changes his thought here, and the rest of Isaiah is speaking of the coming one, right? Isaiah 53, one of the most famous chapters of the Bible, speaking of the Messiah, the Redeemer. And then even of kingdom glory, you see in Isaiah 60 and others, speaking of kingdom glory. And it's this thought here, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. What happened at that time? What happened at that time? Turn with me real quick to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and this is the thought he's getting at, right? Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Think about that again. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Can you imagine that sight? when the glory of the Lord shone upon them. And this is, I believe, the same glory that the Lord is speaking about, glory of God being shown. Isaiah 40, verse 5, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed at God's unique time. He was going to continue to reveal His glory. What does this all mean? I just want to talk a few points here. Verse 1 and 2, he speaks of comfort, God's comfort and pardoning for sins in Isaiah 40. God, here we hear the gospel message, right? Pardoning for sin. God was going to bring comfort to the people of Israel. And he was speaking of a future time of a Messiah, of a Savior. How was he going to do that? We know, verse 3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, right? And we know in the New Testament, this speaking of John the Baptist, right? The glory of God being revealed, and God prophetically speaking of this in Isaiah, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for God. See, God was going to bring comfort. God was going to bring this Messiah. He was using John the Baptist to what? To preach repentance, right? Preparation, repentance, repentance. Come, the Messiah is coming. Are you prepared? Are you prepared? This is part of the Christmas thought, right? This is the part of the gospel. Repentance. There has to be a pardoning. Well, who will that be? Who will that point to? Again, the glory of God shall be revealed. And we're going to go into that a little bit more. Speaking, verse 8, it goes into the kingdom of glory, going into speaking of future events. So Isaiah 40 here, bringing the all back to Christmas, we have to go back to the Old Testament. We have to go back to why is it so amazing that Christ came? What does it mean? What does it reveal of who God is? Verse 5 again, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Isaiah is speaking these words to the Jewish nation, right? Has not the glory of the Lord been revealed before? Well, yes, in ways. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. So what has happened? What does this mean? What kind of name or title could this be? What are they referring to? Well, I want to look at, well, we have to define things. I always define things. It hurts me when in culture today, especially in modern culture, they change the meaning of words just to be cool, like good is bad is good, you know, that kind of thing. I'm always big about let's understand what we're talking about. I looked this up and I wrote it down in this way. What is the glory of God? What are we talking about here? The glory of the Lord is the expression of God's person. It is any manifestation of God's character and manifestation of His attributes in the world, in the universe, is His glory. It's God's disclosing of Himself, right? Let me read that again. The glory of the Lord is the expression of God's person. So what is it? It's an expression of who He is and how He is revealed to us to understand Him better, right? Again, this is where I think we get wrong and we get lukewarm or we get dead in our faith as we stop searching and understanding who God is and what God is doing. But Isaiah is saying, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. It's expression of God's person. It's the manifestation of God's character and manifestation of His attributes in the world. I even wrote, it's the emanation or the effulgence of who He is. Of who He is, it's His actual presence. And an example, you could say what? The sun. Think about the sun, right? Yeah, that's nice. But how do you understand its attributes? Tell me, someone. What are the attributes of the sun? What does it give off? Heat. It gives off light. What's an attribute of water? It's wet, right? And I'm not going real deep here or anything, okay? The sun, you feel its heat, right? You feel its light, and you see the manifestation of what it is. What is happening when God is saying the glory of God, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed? It's understanding who He is and the attributes of God disclosing of Himself. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. What do we see here? What, you know, Isaiah, has God not shown himself before? Well, what is it? What do we know? In creation, we see a beautiful creation, right? We see an attribute here. We see God's handiwork in all of this, right? I think of a little baby. I'm still amazed at ladies and when they have babies. I'm amazed at that. That's God's handiwork. That's God's plan. You pick up a butterfly. Have you ever seen a monarch butterfly? Have you ever seen... I did dissecting of worms and all this kind of stuff. I'm amazed. It's God, right? God expressing himself in creation. What about in the Bible and God's relationship with his people? What did he do with Adam and Eve? Was he not in the garden? Walking and having that fellowship with him, with them. What happened? What did we see through Moses, right? Was he not in a burning bush? Was not God showing his power? What do we see when the manna came, right? Was that not God expressing his works, manifesting his power and his works? You see, as through history, God revealing who he is. What's another one? I put here in the tabernacle, right? Right? You see them walking. He was walking with his people. And then, of course, the Shekinah glory that's spoken of in Ezekiel. That's a whole different world. That's a whole different study. But I like even Ezekiel says, this was the appearance. I can't even explain it. This is the experience. This is the glory of God, and this is how I am describing it. You see here the manifestations of God's glory. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Do we understand what God is doing in history? Do we understand what he's doing? I want to talk to you about the glory of God shall be revealed, but how? His glory as the Father, right? We could see his glory as the Father, Abba Father, as he's walked with the children of Israel. We've seen those examples just now. And you see how he was working through the prophets of old, right? Using the prophets of old to speak to, we were studying Jeremiah, not just to the children of Israel, but also to the nations, right? We see his handiwork and his prophecies and it's coming true, judgment's coming true. It's God revealing himself. I don't know about you. When I think about God, you know, sometimes when I was real little, I thought he was so far away. Someone I couldn't relate to. But in the scriptures, we see a God that is so close to his people that he has their very heart and interest that he would punish them to bring them back to full relationship. A God of love. But what is he speaking here? What else is he showing us here? For the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, his glory as the Son. Hebrews, turn with me to Hebrews. And this is part of this whole idea of the awe. Do we understand, after all that's happened in the Old Testament and his manifestations of glory, the manifestations of him walking, teaching Moses, teaching Adam and Eve, and walking with the children of Israel and making a nation of worshipers, what is Isaiah speaking about in his Son? Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. Okay, we just looked at that in the Old Testament. His glory as the Son, what does he say? Verse 2. Has in these last days... So, that's key, right? Last days, he's revealing the culmination of who... the culmination will be in kingdom glory, right? But we see here, how does he bring redemption? Has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Not through his Son, not to his Son, but by his Son God speaks, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. You see here Jesus speaking of his Godhead, right? Jesus at creation. who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Isaiah said, the glory of God shall be revealed. And we see this now in the Son. God has always been speaking to his people, right? Through the forefathers and through the prophets. They've been speaking God's words. But now, from creation till now, he changes and says, in these last days, the last days, God has spoken to us, most of all, through his Son. The revelation of God's glory is now through his Son. He doesn't need a prophet anymore. He doesn't need someone to come and herald something, some news or some judgment or anything. I'm going to send the Almighty One, the very Son of God. The glory of God shall be revealed. You see, this is what I think about when I think of Easter, when I think of Christmas. I think of my neighbors. 50 to 75% of my neighbors are Asian, Hindus, or Indians of some sort. They're not Christians. And when I'm putting up a star, when I'm putting up my lights, when I put up, I haven't put on my manger scene yet, but when I do, I'm thinking about them. I'm saying, do you understand the awe of what God is doing? Christmas is not about going to Macy's or JCPenney. It's not about the gifts. It's not about all that. It's what God has done in revealing who he is through his Son. Not some distant clockmaker, not someone who's silent, but God come down, God with us. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel with us, God with us. Do we understand that? I said Amos 3:7, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets, but now has been revealed in his Son. He reveals his glory and further proclamation of who he is via, not through his Son, okay? I'm trying to make a point here. Not through his Son, but in his Son. In his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in him. You see what Paul is saying here? He's saying it's not stories. It's not stories. Believe in the stories. It's not believe the prophets and the false prophets and what the God, for all the promises of God are in him, are yes. And in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Jesus Christ from creation. And what does Hebrews say here? Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Isaiah 40 is saying, the glory of God shall be revealed. The glory of God is expressed in the Lord Jesus Christ. God come down, God with us. The brightness of his glory, having the full power and expression of God the Father himself, yet distinct. John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. This is one of the most powerful verses that you can use in a gospel conversation. John 1:1 and John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. It's like what we spoke about at Lord's Supper. Matthew 17, right? Jonathan was sharing, do you think Peter, James, and John understood Jesus as the Son of God? Probably not before that point. And what did they see? Well, Peter speaks about it in his writings. They beheld his glory and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Again, the glory of God, of the Lord is the expression of God's person. It is any manifestation of God's character, a manifestation of his attributes in the world, in the universe. It is his glory. It's God disclosing himself. When I think about my children, sure, I have a tree. Sure, I have some gifts for them. But I tell Anjali all the time, why do we celebrate? What's the meaning? Why do we do this? God come down. Jesus came down and was Emmanuel, God with us. And we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The glory of God revealed. John 2:11. What do we understand by this Son? Does He just stop in His coming here? No, of course not. We understand the story, right? But what does Jesus show us of God Himself and of the glory of God being revealed? This is verse John 2:11. This is the first of His signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested His glory. So what is it? It's His works, right? We're manifesting the power of God working here on earth to reach His people. This is the first of His signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested His glory, and His disciples believed in Him. This is going to the third point that I want to make, but Jesus' works as He walked on this earth manifested God's glory in what He did, in how He ministered, in how He served, and so that people would understand who He is and came to know who He is. You see, Isaiah 40, verse 5, the glory of God shall be revealed, and all those, they will recognize Him. And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The awe of Christmas is understanding Jesus, God, come down to us to save us that which was lost. That's the awe. That's the awe I think about. Sometimes I just forget this, but I need to remind myself of these things. When a neighbor comes over and says, "Why do you put up lights? Why did you give me a gift? Why did 1 year Ruba and Anjali and Aaron made cookies and gave it to the neighbors?" And I was just like, I was amazed. I was like, that's great, because that gives us an opportunity to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, people out there know what Christians represent, Jesus, but they don't know the message. They don't know the gospel. They don't know the meaning of it. And so I say we need to bring back the awe for the church to realize that we need to be speaking more about the meaning. The glory of God revealed in its fullness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to us. You know, I have favorites. Joy to the World, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Proclaim. Do we sing it as a way to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ? Understanding God revealed. God and Jesus Christ, the author of salvation and the sacrificial lamb. Joy to the World. Once again, 2 Peter chapter 1. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. He received from God the Father, Jesus Christ, honor and glory when such a voice came to Him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You see, Peter understood it. At the transfiguration, they saw it. They saw God come down, and they saw Jesus standing there with the glory shining around Him. You see, Luke chapter 2, when the angels came, why would the angels come? Was there any kind of declaration for any other prophet ever in time where the angels proclaimed this in this way? And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. You see, the glory of the Lord is verification of what God is doing, revealing Himself and saying, this is my Son. This is who I've come to give you as a Redeemer and the Messiah, the one I've spoken to, as Isaiah 40 says, to bring comfort, to bring pardon for iniquity and sins. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. So what is He doing now? This is where I want to close. Turn with me to John chapter 17. Has God stopped? Has God stopped the revealing that's seen here in Isaiah chapter 40? This is where I want to close and give you some practical thoughts. As you go forward, not just to your Christmas season, not just home to your neighborhoods, not just to friends and family if you travel, but for as we live our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to think about this. The glory of God is still being revealed in us. The glory, the manifestation of His works, as He was working through Jesus and as we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, He is still manifesting His glory. And that's what He's doing through us. John chapter 17. First, I want to read these verses here, 4 and 5. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. So He's speaking here, and these are probably the most dearest chapter in Jesus' ministry when He's praying. And He's speaking to God. Glorify. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work with you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with you yourself. Now look at these verses. A little more extended here, but beginning with verse 20. And listen to these words. What is He saying to us? What do we learn here in Jesus' prayer? I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Well, how will they believe? And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. Can you hear Isaiah 40, verse 5? The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And the glory, verse 22, which you gave me, I have given them, and that they may be one just as we are one, and I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you have loved me before the foundation of the world. That verse one more time, verse 22. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them. What is Jesus saying here? His glory is continuing to be revealed through His people. The glory of God revealed to mankind, now to mankind reveals God's glory. Jesus' prayer speaks of unity with the Father and the power of the gospel witness to represent the message of God, revealing who He is and what He is here to do. God, who lived in triune relationship with the Son and Father, now comes to indwell believers to display the glory of His love to others. Why? So that they may believe. Do you understand what I'm saying? God has been revealing to Himself since creation so that they may believe. Believe. And we now are part of that ministry. You see the awe of Christmas to me? I'm just saying this maybe selfishly, but the awe of Christmas to me is God revealed Himself through the Lord Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. He died on Calvary for my sins. And now that the Holy Spirit dwells in me, I am one in Him and I get to reveal His glory. How? The watching world sees the glory of God in me by what? Obedient Christian relationships, Christian marriage, a loving church family, sharing in the work of spreading the gospel. The list can go on and on, right? But it's the glory of God working in me so that people would see what makes Him so strange. What makes Him so different? Well, I'm redeemed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about Him. Let me tell you the message since creation. The glory of God being revealed That's the awe of Christmas to me. What's the awe of Christmas to you? I pray that you would think about it differently as you enjoy this season. But explain it. Explain it to somebody. Tell them what God has been doing since creation, what God has been doing and what he has done and finished through his Son, and what he's doing in your own life. That is bringing the awe back to Christmas. Let's not make it a dead Christmas season. Make it alive. Make it passionate. Rejoice, rejoice. Joy to the world. Emmanuel, God is with us. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we think about these thoughts, these words, your word, your living word, may it inspire us. May it move us. May it echo in our hearts and our minds that we would be moved to worship you, draw closer to you, Lord. That others would see Christ in our lives, Lord, and want to know what makes us different. What is this message? What is this hope of comfort and peace and goodwill, Lord? It all comes back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to be in awe of you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for this time together with my family, with these dear saints, Lord, as we consider these things. May we be spurred on to glorify you more, to lift you up more in our lives and in all that we do. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for the price that was paid at Calvary, and Lord, that you did it all. You said it is finished. Lord, we just give you glory. We thank you, and we lift all this up to your precious Son's name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.